5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
What is up, everybody? We are back. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live on the road. I'm coming to you from Toronto, Canada. Chris Algieri is in California covering Pro Box. I'm here for Most Valuable Promotions Prospects event number 11. There's a lot going on in the world of boxing. There's a new boxing league headed up by Dana White and Turki Alashik. There is more fallout from Gervonta Davis and Lamont Roach. There was a press conference featuring Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, and Devin Haney. Our pets' heads are falling off. What else is going on in the boxing world, Chris? What's going on, always my friend?
There's always a million things going on, and that's why we have to do two shows a week. We might have to do like three or four shows a week, you know, starting soon, Dan, because people are always DMing me like, hey, when are you going to talk about this? When are you going to talk about that? I was like, all right, it's coming the next show. Just show people. I know you're excited for our shows, but...
No, that's funny because when we went to two a week, as a content creator, my biggest fear is always what's next and what's the next show going to look like and how are we going to keep this going? And sometimes boxing has these lulls.
Never a problem.
All of a sudden, a new boxing league gets introduced and the entire world, boxing world, is flipped upside down. And that's going to be where we lead off here. I want to say, though, I am in Toronto. I just got a Tim Hortons iced coffee.
And I'm in California, so I got coffee bean, which is a West Coast thing. You don't see these on the East Coast.
Nice. Very nice. Look at us on the road, bringing it on the road. One other thing, too, before a little bit of housekeeping, before we get into... I don't get out much. Here's some Canadian money.
Ah.
Got the queen on it.
What do they call their money?
I don't know, but I went to the ATM here. It's a casino. I went to the ATM, and I was expecting to get... some American money, and I realized, oh shit, I'm in Toronto.
Yeah, dude, you're in Canada.
You got some that shit. Canada trade pieces. Wars. They grilled me at the customs.
What's the conversion rate like?
That's another thing I don't know. Why are you asking me questions that I don't know answers to, Chris?
Come on. I know you're not a math guy or a stats guy. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of adding involved there, but yeah, you're supposed to be a numbers guy, but
no. I don't know the conversion, but I'm probably getting screwed here on money. So let's get into it. Let's start off the show with some of the biggest news, and that is this TKO boxing. What is TKO boxing? What is TKO, if you're not familiar? TKO is a conglomerate company that owns UFC and WWE. It's headed up by Nick Khan. It's headed up by Endeavor, which is one of the biggest sports agencies in the world. Ari Emanuel, who Ari Gold was based off of. They are a behemoth. We're talking about a $20 billion company that is taking over combat sports. And Dana White has been teasing a boxing league or teasing his entry into boxing for about 6-7 years now, maybe even more. And he always said, it's not going to come unless I can completely take over the sport. So he teams up with Turki Alashik. He teams up with TKO, and he is now stepping into boxing. And what does it all mean? We have to all figure it all out, Chris. But... it's a long, long play is what I think. But the news, well, they had a whole news conference, and they didn't put out a lot of details, though. You kind of have to let us speculate now, us media people speculate on what this could all look like, and which I love to do. So we're going to have to speculate a bit. I'm going to ask you some questions on what you would do as a fighter. I'm going to ask you some questions on what you think about all of this. Right away, off the bat, when you hear about a boxing league that has a UFC model, which isn't exactly the best thing if you're a fighter and you hear a UFC model. It's great for a fan. Like, what's your initial reaction to this boxing league?
Well, as a fighter, boxing league, right? That's something that we always kind of talked about, right? Some kind of unified organization, some kind of unified body that's going to kind of look over everything, make sure everything is on the up and up, and we have a way to do rankings properly and get the right kind of fights and have people actually make these matchups. So it's not like this promoter versus that promoter across the street and can't make these fights happen. If there's one unifying league, then it's like, oh yeah, we can make these fights. But when you bring in the fact that it's the UFC model, and the number one complaint about the UFC, if you're a fighter, is the pay. Guys used to say to me all the time, like, Chris, you used to kickbox, you were a two-time world champion kickboxer, you were an all-state wrestler. Like, you should do MMA, go get that MMA money. And I used to always laugh in their face and be like, dude, I make boxing money. Why the hell would I take a pay cut to go get MMA money? The MMA guys want to fight, want the money that I'm getting. Why would I do that? People were flabbergasted. The casual fans, or just fans in general, never understood that. The fighters do. So from a fighter perspective, the fact that we're making a quote-unquote league in the UFC model is a terrifying prospect.
It's a terrifying prospect for high-end fighters.
Yes.
What does this mean for a prospect? What does this mean for a kid coming out of the Olympics? It's different scales. There's different...
Well, Dan, I saw a kid coming out of the Olympics, even though, you know, you're new, quote unquote, to the pro ranks, you're already in the A-list. If you're coming out of the Olympics, you're not going to have the same
Olympics
kind of
out
route.
Of that. Take Olympics
I would take that kind of fighter out. Okay, especially now, because we're seeing Olympians who are fighting for world titles, but in 10 fights. So
right. Say you're a prospect, you're coming out, you're not Olympic. Yeah. You're 18-year-old fighter, and you're looking at the two roads. There's the conventional boxing road, which, you know what, one day I could be Floyd Mayweather, but I hate to tell you, kid, it's probably not likely that you're going to be Floyd Mayweather. Maybe you reach the highest level, you become a world champion, make a few million dollars. Maybe you fizzle out and you don't make it at all. Maybe you become a B-side. Maybe there's a lot of different ways your career can go. Or you can sign with this league, and part of the perks of something we did learn yesterday was you can have all the perks of UFC fighters. You have the UFC.
You're having
institute.
Access to the institute. The
right. You're part of the family now. You have health insurance. You have just like you're part of something, and you have all these benefits. Is what I'm looking for. And you work your way up. We'll look after you. I'm Dana White. I know what I'm doing. Turkey El Sheik, high bankroll, and we'll work your way up. And you'll never be poor. But you may never reach the 1%. You're probably not going to reach the 1% that a Floyd Mayweather did, or ex-fighters of this crazy boxing model. That's one way of looking at this experiment, I want to call it, or what their plan is when you're a fighter. Because I do want to get your take as a fighter. Because that's one way I'm looking at this. And there's many other layers to this story.
Well, so essentially what you're laying out is that Chris Algieri grassroots the fighter, you know, fighter A, fighter Chris Algieri. That would have been a perfect opportunity for me, because I wanted to fight I wanted to fight everybody around me. I wanted to fight the guys that, you know, there were fights I couldn't potentially get early on, because I was basically grassroots fighting in Long Island. And one of my biggest gripes with my promotion was, like, I need to get out of Long Island. I'm way too good to be here. No one's going to know who I am if I'm only fighting here, if I can't get on TV. So a guy like that, who's like, ooh, I have the access now to all of these other networks, networking in terms of who I can fight, all the access to, man, I didn't have health insurance until I was 30. I didn't have health insurance until I was a world champion. So having those kinds of perks, having someplace to be able to train, I left New York on my own dime to find places to train, because New York wasn't a great place because of the weather, because of the money, because of everything, whatever. But if I could go to the UFC PI and train, and I have health insurance for all the injuries that I had anyway, it's like, yeah, it looks really, really good for that fighter who's coming up in that route, which is not out of the Olympics, signs to a big promotional company, has that potential to be a Floyd Mayweather type fighter.
Yeah, that's a great point. And this is one aspect of this deal that isn't like the sexiest of topics, but it's something that I think about. It's like, who's joining this league? And from what I see, the reason I bring this up is because this is what I think they're going to go after right away. To me, you know, our friend Ariel Helwani says this is a seismic day in the history of boxing. Boxing has changed forever. And he is right to a certain degree, because I think this is a very long play. Like, their long play, TKO Boxing's long play, is like a 10-year thing where every promotion is scooped up. Every fighter is under their banner. Combat sports are under their banner. WWE, UFC, Boxing League. But in the meantime, before that happens, they're going to scoop up prospects. They're going to scoop up guys with a couple losses. They're going to scoop up B-sides. And that's what you're going to see right away. Which leads you to my number one question about this league. What fighters are signing to this league? Because Dana White went on a press tour yesterday and regurgitated all the things that boxing fans have been saying for years. We're going to have best versus best, just like UFC. we're going to have a ranking system where it's a top 10, a top 15, and 10 fights 9, 8 fights 7, and so forth. We have a number 1 versus a number 2, saying all these great things. But if every fighter in boxing, the top guys at every division, are not signed under this league, then you don't have a league. Yep. Your rankings are just as flawed as the WBA rankings. So well, is actually, it going to be?
We'll get into legality. Right. They're actually more flawed because of something called the Muhammad Ali Act. You
right.
can't be a promoter and ranker at the same time, which we're going to
and
get
hand
into,
out the belts
course,
but, and hand out the belts
and pick who fights for titles and all that. You can't do that.
Well, Chris, Dana White is pretty much part of Trump's administration, and TKO on a recent call. The TKO president, I think his name is something Shapiro, said, well, yeah, we're looking to get rid of that Muhammad Ali Act. Didn't even hide
which
it.
Is,
Ari Emanuel went on McAfee's show and said, yeah, we're looking to see how we can get past that. I mean, just do the math. Dana White, Trump.
It's literally to protect fighters against coercion and undue process of these promoters who have so much power over the fighters. And listen, Muhammad Ali protected me while I was fighting quite a bit. I used it. I was in legal cases where that was something that I used as my proof and of the existence of my lawsuit. Dude, you take that away. Muhammad Ali does really have any teeth anyway. There's no arm that you can use. Listen, if anything, the Muhammad Ali Act should have more teeth. We should be expanding on it, not taking it away. That's a scary, scary thing.
No, it's so
exactly.
scary. And it's super scary. And I have a lot of issues with the Muhammad Ali Act. I feel like it's something that was put in place because John McCain.
It was
really
a good start.
It
needs a lot
right.
more.
It was a good start, but it's never been touched, Chris. If it was like a book, it would have dust all over it. There hasn't been one revision to it. It's just kind of like John McCain loved boxing and pushed this thing across. No one else in the last 25 years has given a shit in Congress or in our government to revise this. It's like, all right, you got your piece, you got your little document, and it's been stepped on. It's been worked around. For a while now in the current sense. So, you know, I've heard that side of it. Let's just get rid of it there. But that's just one negative.
Well, promoters never wanted it. The promoter, it gives some rights to the fighter over the promoter. The whole idea or the concept of it, whether it actually worked in reality or not, was that the promoters wouldn't have any undue influence and control to be able to coerce fighters into doing things that weren't fair. So that was the idea behind it. So of course, promoters don't want to deal with that. Promoters want to double dip. We've had historically promoters who worked as managers and promoters, which is illegal by the Muhammad Ali Act. So you know, taking out those safeguards is a really scary thing. There's a great saying: power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So now, if there's nothing holding these promoters back from being crooked, why would they not? They do it anyway. They do it when there actually are rules. If there's no rules, why not go all the way full bore? When you got guys who are literally going out and saying, oh, we're going to get rid of the Muhammad Ali Act. The thing that actually protects fighters, we're getting rid of that. And you're going to be just saying it so brazenly. It's mind blowing to me.
Well, that's why I want to know, like, what fighters are like looking at this, like the fans are looking at.
Fighters
this
don't
this
even
is
know
great.
About this stuff, though. Dan.
Oh, come on,
it's
man!
Really
I think
tough
some
when
do.
You're coming
I think
up.
Some do.
I mean, yeah, it takes you a while. It took me a while. Our mutual friend Paulie Malignaggi had to tell me about the Ali Act and at the weigh-in you sign this paperwork that no one ever tells you to look over, and you know that's these are important things that happen during fighters' careers that you're really not aware of. You're too busy in there fighting. If you don't have a team around you that's been around this sport for a long time, you're really unprotected from what's going on out there.
No, of course you're as strong as your team, and especially in boxing, you need a damn good lawyer. Obviously, we're talking about the prospects who might want to join this, who might not know about the Ali Act, or might not who want to who look at the benefits of this league compared to going rogue. How about like someone like David Benavidez, who is 27, 28 years old, established former world champion? Would he join a league like this?
I feel like he's already outside of the orbit at this current time.
Well, here's the thing: like, if everyone else is in the league, he might get frozen out of fights, which happens without a league too. You get frozen out of fights when you're on the wrong side of the street, quote unquote. But would he join something like this? Because he hasn't. It will help him get the fights that he wants. But the flip side of it is, I mean, if they're talking about UFC model, when I hear UFC model, I think of changing the revenue splits, like not getting as much money. Like the revenue splits in the UFC are paltry. I mean, it's like 15%, even less than that, go to the fighter. So I'm like curious, like, all right, Benavidez, you join this league, your name, you're a well past prospect and all that. Like maybe you do get that Canelo fight, or maybe you do get some big fights, like a Bivol fight in this league, but you're not getting like the what you got in a free market.
Well, Dan, the way I kind of look at this and from what I understand and how this model could work, the league is going to be at this time, and you said this is a long play, at this point is going to be prospect level. It's going to be building, you know, which eventually means you're going to have everybody because that's where the top guys come from. They come from the prospect level and work their way up.
Yeah.
So if you look at the way this model is, you're attacking both ends. So you got the biggest guys, right? You got the Bivols, the Benavidez, the Beterbiev. Now you've got Canelo Alvarez. You know, you've got these guys. You've got Anthony Joshua. You've got these kind of guys who are fighting on these cards. And then you attack the opposite end, which the prospects, the new signees, the building up that grassroots approach of these guys and their careers as they're building. Now you've got the middle. Eventually, this is going to grow into that, and you're going to be able to take over everything. Yeah. But right now, I don't see them putting those top earners anywhere near this tournament style thing or this league, because what are you going to have? You're going to have, you know, the top end guys, and you're going to have, you know, new guys, and it's not going to work right away. So there's got to be time for them to develop. These guys are going to age out. They're going to leave, and then eventually it's going to be everywhere. Like you said, it's a long play. Right now it's the battle of the middle class. Those guys are still there fighting tooth and nail to try and be the guys that are at the top. They're probably trying to get into the league now, but I think it's going to take some time.
Well, the first event is until 2026. Turkey went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday and kind of teased at September 12th being their first big event, a mega fight, he said. And that's obviously Canelo versus Crawford. So there's a lot of rumors that Canelo Crawford could end up on Netflix. There's rumors that Canelo Crawford could have the TKO banner underneath it, their first big thing. Like, they are promising some four mega fights a year and then a league. But to go back to what you just said is, yeah, this is an extremely long play. This is how I look at it. If you're looking for something to happen in the next 3 to 4 years, probably not. Will they have some big signings? Absolutely. Like, will Terrence Crawford be a TKO fighter? Yeah. Canelo Alvarez has just did an interview with Brian Campbell and was very complimentary and said some very nice things about this current league, about what it could be and what it could do for fighters. So you're right, Chris. It's going to be a lot of prospects, and which is interesting because then just don't take anything Dana White said yesterday as gospel. He was speaking to casual fans yesterday. That's why he went on Pat McAfee. Those guys don't know boxing. He was speaking to all the ailments of boxing over the last 25 years. You know, I don't like the productions. I will say I do expect the productions to improve. That's one thing UFC has done a great job with. They know how to put together.
Having the TKO production arm alone is going to be massive. Yeah. You know, it's going to make for a better product. That's what they do. That's what TKO does. They make the product better. So
WWE, UFC,
from a business perspective, yeah, absolutely.
But with Dana that I wasn't exactly in lockstep with him on was the ranking thing, and that's maybe in 10 years, yeah, or best versus best, or the boxing's problem is you have to have an O for people to care, or we're not getting best versus best. Yes, we are getting best versus best because you're a buddy.
I disagree. Yeah, that's changed. The O thing has gone out the window. Our best fighters in the world, the guys in the pound for pound, Beterbiev and Bivol both have a loss now. Crawford's undefeated. Canelo has two losses. You know, so it's not that way anymore. We just saw a massive fight over the weekend with Lamont Roach and Tank Davis. Lamont Roach had a loss and a draw going into that fight. Now he's got two draws, and even Davis has a draw on his record now. So you don't have to have an O to be the top end of the sport any longer. And we are getting the best versus the best. Boxing is in a really good place. This is another massive move. Again, I don't think it's seismic the way our man, Ariel Helwani is saying, because it's like the pre-shocks. it's going to take some time before this really makes like real waves. But it's coming.
Absolutely. So my questions were, Chris, like, which fighters are signing to this? Will it be big names? If they can't swallow up everyone in their rankings, this doesn't mean anything. These are just incomplete as what we already have. the pay scale and revenue splits? Are they going to be similar to UFC? Are they going to pay these guys better? Also, where is it going to air? I am hearing that obviously Top Rank is leaving, or ESPN and Top Rank are going their separate ways. That's been reported for a few weeks now. And don't be surprised to see TKO do a deal with ESPN. And ESPN, and don't be surprised if we're looking at like prospect level type shows, Friday night fight level type shows on ESPN with this TKO deal. My next thing with this boxing league is, what does this mean for the other promoters out there? Because Turki Alashik had a very interesting quote yesterday. He goes, "We're going to crush the competition. This is going to be the number one promotion in boxing." Dude, you were just in business with Matchroom. You were just in business with Queensberry. Like, if I'm Eddie Hearn and I'm Frank Warren, what are they thinking today? Like, Eddie Hearn put out a quote, and he said, go ahead.
No, I'm going to hear what Eddie Hearn said.
Yeah, yeah. Eddie Hearn says, I presume it's on ESPN to replace the Top Rank deal. I don't get the feeling that it's big name fighters. I think it's Dana White and those guys. I think maybe they'll be looking at lower level to sort of elevate and make those guys stars, like future stars, because I really feel like they won't want to be in the business of negotiating purse by purse with managers and lawyers and promoters within boxing. They'll want to have a situation they can control, build a narrative, and make fights like that without aggravation. And that generally comes by lower level people that are up for fighting anyone. That wasn't, this is an amazing moment in the history of boxing. I cannot wait to get involved. He's pouring cold water on it.
Yeah, well, he should. He, literally, the guy that you were arm in arm with just said he's coming to crush you.
No, hand in hand with.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Hand in hand with, you know, and all these guys were. And he just literally Turki came out there and said, "I'm going to crush everybody." All the guys that you were just working with, you're going hand in hand with. Literally, Turki Alashik has been the Trojan horse. Everyone has invited them into their home, and he said, "I'm going to destroy you now. Thank you for letting me in. You just let in the 800-pound gorilla, and now I'm going to take over." And so Eddie Hearn, of course, has got to pour some cold water on it, because he just welcome. It's the Trojan horse. He just welcomed him in, or maybe like a vampire has to be invited in before it sucks your blood. But you know, that's what these guys did. You need power, man.
But,
it's too much power, too much influence.
But I'll say this, Chris. I mean, if Eddie's like was told this is what's going to happen, and would you do this all over again? He would, because he has he has elevated Matchroom in his bank account. And they're fighters, which is what Eddie always says. It's the number one thing. The reason I hold hands with Turki, the reason I would shine his shoes, those are Eddie's words, not mine, was because what it does for my fighters, what Turki has done for my fighters. So I think even if, like, what we say is true, where Turki, you know, he went in with Eddie and Frank Warren, he saw how everything works, and now he's starting his own thing and kind of quote-unquote screwing him over, I think Eddie and Frank would go for it all over again because of the amount of money it made their company.
Yeah, but maybe you say that right now, right? If you ask them right now, if you ask them in 5 years, would they say that? If you ask them in 10 years, would you say that? Because are they still around in 5 years? Are they still around in 10 years? This is a long play. And a promoter's life in this sport, especially a major one, you're looking at decades. Decades. Eddie's pretty new to this sport. Yes, he's coming from his father's bloodline, and he's dealt with this. He's been in this business his whole life. But Eddie's a young guy. He's in his mid-40s. Bob Arum's 93 years old. The guy still is at these shows. He's still flying all over the world. He's still working. The lifetime of a promoter is a very long time. So, you know, Eddie's got a lot more boxing promotion in his future, but it might not be the same as it was in the past based on these deals that he's made.
Right, these guys got egos. Like, Eddie loves being front and center. He loves.
I talk about promoter egos all the time. I've seen these guys firsthand. I know how these guys are. They're, you know, they don't fight, but they fight.
Right, and so like it's interesting. Like 5 years from now, what is Matchroom? What is Queensberry? You know, my guess. This is just a guess. You know, Eddie and Frank still manage their fighters, but they have them enter into this league. The leagues will be run by TKO, considering you know, weight classes. If Eddie, you know, that could be it. They can essentially turn Matchroom, Golden Boy, all the promoters into managers. feeding system. If you want to stay in boxing, if Eddie wants to stay in boxing and wants to keep Matchroom, he will be feeding his fighters to this league, but he won't be front and center.
Nope. And a massive problem with that, because in order to get this done, you're going to have to get rid of the Ali Act. And now you have promoters and managers who are promoters who are managers, and you have guys that are in lockstep with the powers that be, with TKO, the amount of influence that they're going to have over the fighters, the matchups, the governing bodies, there is no governing bodies, over the belts, I should say, over the championships. This is exactly why the Muhammad Ali Act was put into place. So it's just, there's way too much overreach. And at that point, when you've got this, just like the UFC is, you don't have that competition anymore. It's not capitalistic anymore. It's not meritocracy anymore. You've got people that have way too much influence that are able to dictate what's going to happen. You've got promoters who are looking over the shoulders of the judges and then going to corners and telling them that they have rounds they need to win back. This is not the way the sport is supposed to be.
Well, just to combat that, I remember Floyd did that. What fight?
Was yeah, it well, it's not suppo- and that's a problem. You're not supposed to do that. This is a sport, guys. This is not WWE. I know that this model that TKO is coming in, they've got the WWE. WWE is great. It is entertainment. It's a lot. It's awesome. But it's not a sport. It's not decided through merit and through fairness. It's supposed to be a level playing field in terms of how we are able to make our careers exist. I don't know. If you take away the sporting aspect of it, it's a rehearsed theater, it's just entertainment. It's not the same thing. It's not why us fighters signed up.
Right. I mean, I that's why I'm kind of thinking, like, seismic might be a good word, because in 10 years, like this group that they have, these guys don't fail. Like Nick Khan was once the most powerful agent in the world. And now he's the head of this TKO group. Like Dana White is Dana White. TKO Sheik has more money. You know the money these guys. These guys are not in this to fail. They're not in this for a short run. They're in it for the long run. At least I that's what I believe. So in 10 years, we might see boxing swallowed up into the UFC model. The next couple of years are going to be interesting. And just to look at it, like the positives of this, like, yeah, I would love a one ranking system. I would love to get rid of the WBA, WBC, IBF. Goodbye. Good riddance. Never have to pay sanctioning fees again if you're a boxer. Never have to deal with these.
I was going to say, Dan, you never pay sanctioning fees. I have. They suck.
Well, I pay taxes, and I hate that.
Fighters pay taxes, too. We pay taxes on top of the sanctioning fees. How about that?
Right. So the positives of this is, we could have that one belt, one face, one champion, a legitimate ranking system. But what's going to happen is you're not going to the pay scale is going to be different. You're going to have one body overlooking everything, which, there could be some problems with that. I am not the biggest UFC guy, but I look at their rankings, which are flawed. I see some big fights in the UFC not happen, just like in boxing. Like, why isn't John Jones fighting Aspinall? What's up with that? And everything I hear from the UFC is that their rankings suck. And that's being, it's one ranking though. And everyone
You got guys like Michael Chandler, who I'm actually friends with. The guy's 1-4 or 2-5 in the UFC, but keeps getting big fights because
they run out of stars too.
Well, yeah, because he's exciting and he's got a big social media following. Like, you've got these guys.
Okay,
like
then that's not a league then. Then that they're just as bad as boxing.
Well, my whole point about this thing that everyone is going bananas over, this UFC model, it's so great. Really? Because it's only been around for 25 years or 30 years or whatever. And boxing, I don't care what anybody says, boxing's kicking the UFC's ass right now. Boxing is having a run like you wouldn't believe. I was just asking the other day, I'm like, what happened to UFC? I don't really hear much about UFC anymore. Where are all the big fights? They were, a couple years ago, but right now, I don't see it like
Alex
that.
Pereira boxing's, is fighting this weekend? I had no clue.
And I actually really like him. He's awesome. And he has he has a star quality for sure. But yeah, dude, it's not, boxing has taken back the reins. And so why are we going to go backwards? Does that model really work for longevity? Boxing has been around forever.
Yeah. There was a lot of pushback. I saw some comments because you made this comment about UFC on the end of the last show. And there were some UFC fans were unhappy in our comment section.
Sorry, guys. UFC's nobody hears about your fights. So you just talked about Pereira, who's a star, and you didn't even know he's fighting this weekend. So,
and I'm a casual UFC fan who they should be targeting. Like, I don't buy every pay-per-view.
But those are the same guys who those guys in the comments were the same guys who told me I should go to UFC. You should go to MMA. Get that MMA money. I was like, bro.
Well, that's the thing, man. The fans don't care about the pay scale. This is the argument we've always had when it comes to boxing versus UFC since day one. Is it about the fans' entertainment or is it about the fighters getting paid? Do you on your couch on Saturday night care about what the fighters are making? I hope they're making the most they could possibly make, or are you just sitting there going, give me blood, give me a freaking war, just bleed, like that guy in the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that you know the answer about their athletes. I don't know, because if you think about, he's my favorite guy, I really followed, okay, then you do want him to get rewarded for putting his life on the line, and you get to watch him bleed. You get to watch him.
But I think these guys are still going to get paid, though. Like, I think they're going to get paid more than UFC fighters. I think, because the antitrust lawsuit that just was awarded all these fighters. Like, I don't want to be too skeptical of this. Like, I think the fighters are still going to make their money, but it might be overall healthier for the sport if there's like a cap of some sort. I don't know.
But who's going to enforce that?
That's what I mean. It's just one body now enforcing it. There's no free market. There's no free market anymore under this
league.
There's no going out and purse bid. It's no going out, you, Chris, and being like, I'm fighting Pacquiao. Let me see what the most I can possibly make for this. It's like, no, this is what you're making. You're in our league.
Oh,
you're an employee.
Dude, I negotiated myself for the Pacquiao fight, and I got myself a lot more money than was initially offered, because I was willing to negotiate and literally stare down the barrel of the gun to possibly losing that fight. With this situation, you don't haggle with Dana. He just finds someone else. You don't haggle with you know, whoever would be the boss man. It's like, oh, you're just not enough money for you? Okay, cool. We'll get you're number two, I'll get number three.
Interesting times. There are not a lot of details, which leads to a lot of speculation, but this is something that I love, is the business side of things. Chris, you've been part of it. You've been at those tables. So we're going to learn a lot more about this as it unfolds. And we'll see how big this change is. I'm telling you, it's very interesting times. The world of boxing right now, from the business side to big fights being made to an international shift, it's wild, wild, wild. Next topic.
Still a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Go ahead. Put a button on
it. I was going to say, still a lot of moving parts. And, you know, it's funny, as much as we've always talked about, we need this to be unified. We need a single governing body. We need this, and now we're like getting close to it. We're like, this is
well,
scary.
Do you really want this? is this what you really want?
Yeah. It's just, we don't know. No one knows how this is gonna play out, and it's gonna be interesting. We're gonna be talking about it. I'm giving my perspective as a fighter and my concerns. But again, as a fan, if we can make these big fights constantly happen and everybody has to fight each other, and it actually is true meritocracy, in a perfect world, this is great. But I don't know. I'm very skeptical, because this is boxing.
It's fair. Moving on to the latest on Tank and Roach, the New York State Athletic Commission has begun a review into the incident. They're saying in a statement that is dedicated to preserving the integrity of combative sports and is committed to working with all promotions and production teams on behalf of the athletes, officials, and fans to ensure technical issues do not occur in the future. If you're wondering, what are these technical issues? The New York State Athletic Commission said that they could not review that knee in the ninth round because their monitors were not working. So therefore, that is their excuse. Their excuse. You're going to have to go with what Steve Willis ruled, which was not a knockdown. I know they're going to try to overturn this, Roach's side. This is not getting overturned, in my opinion. If I'm Lamont Roach, I'm pushing for the rematch. WBA is all about the rematch. WBA has been stepping in it left and right with some weird story posted on their website, which was an opinion piece, which defended Willis and his decision not to award the knockdown. So Gilberto Mendoza had to go on Twitter and say that wasn't the thoughts and feelings of WBA. That was an outside author on our website that was posted to our website. New York State Athletic Commission backpedaling, offering up these excuses on why they couldn't rectify it, you know, in the 10th or 11th round and fix that knockdown, which probably would have awarded Roach the win. But, I mean, Chris, this is like, we're not going to see an overturned decision, in my opinion. Hopefully we see a rematch.
Well, I had this conversation with Paulie Malignaggi about if you overturn that situation and you call that a knockdown, and then you award those points to Roach. He does win the unanimous decision in that, because actually Tank won the ninth round on two of the judges' scorecards. So then if they were to award that, it becomes a 10-8 for Roach on all three judges' scorecards, and then he ends up winning a unanimous decision. You can't do that, because in the spirit of competition, if Tank was scored a knockdown against in that ninth round, it'll change the way that he fights the next couple of rounds. So you can't assume that you could just score that and the fight will remain the same. Tank then goes, okay, well, now I have to fight a different way. I got to get that point back. It makes me think of Terrence Crawford, when his corner told him before going into I think it was the 10th round with Sean Porter, hey, champ, you're down. He goes, I'm down? And he goes out there and stops Porter that very next round. So you can affect, you know, the way a fighter fights based on scores or perceptions or whatever. So you cannot overturn the decision based on, or just award those points, because there were still 2.5 more rounds that happened. And in terms of, so if that were the case, they'll probably make it a no contest. I don't think anybody wants that. But regardless, just make a rematch. We all want to see the rematch is huge now. So huge. I think ultimately at the end of the day, we're going to have a rematch, maybe even a rubber match. And in that case, I'm happy about it, because I think this fight is huge now.
Obviously, the New York State Athletic Commission messed up, and they should have had the replay system. Obviously, Steve Willis messed up. Obviously, Lamont Roach should have won this fight, if you just go by what you saw with your eyes. But it sets an unbelievably wild precedent if we overturn this fight and we give him a win. Now, with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, which happened in the same state with the same commission, that's PEDs involved. And the reason
that's
that
different, that's the fighter themselves. Yeah.
Right. The referee making a bad judgment call and then them using that excuse to kind of cover themselves with the monitor, they're not going to set that precedent, because then if this happens in the future with a bad judgment call, we're just going to start reversing everything. Like, as much as I would like want to see justice prevail in this situation, I just don't see it happening. And you're right, Chris. Run that second fight. PBC is looking for a summer blockbuster now that Canelo Alvarez has left and he's now with Saudi. David Benavidez flirting with the Saudis as well. You know, look at our socials and all the videos that we did all week long with Gervonta and Lamont. They did really good during the week. Doubled the views since the fight happened. There are so many people searching Davis. There are so many people who are now discovering who Lamont Roach is. Like, I'm talking like our videos are hitting millions of views now since the fight happened, because they're so intrigued. And, you know, this is what promoters do. They study the trends. And you have yourself a rematch. It comes down to, does Gervonta Davis want it? Because it seems like they're flirting with Jake Paul. It seems like he's got his own plan here. And the plan was never to potentially lose to Lamont Roach. The plan was move on. So, I mean, in a perfect world, we get that rematch.
My answer is always run it back. This is a fight sports. So even when people talk about trash talking, well, I get to punch you in the face later. So that's going to answer everything. And then in terms of, you know, when there's controversy around a fight, I said the same thing about Haney and Ryan. Okay, fight them. You get a rematch. You get to punch him in the face again. So then let these guys run it back. It's a much bigger fight now. Roach's profile has, 10x since before that fight. I don't want to take away from Roach's performance, because he put on a fantastic performance and he showed the world who the hell Lamont Roach is. But I don't want to take away from that, because if this was a one sided fight where Tank ran away with it and we had this little knee situation, knee gate, we wouldn't be talking about it like this. The fact that Roach was in that fight and showed that he was at the level, he could do this. He's right there. That's why this is such a big deal, and that's why this fight is big. So it's twofold. It's not just because it's knee gate, now there's a lot of eyes looking on it. It's because Lamont Roach can fucking fight. And we have a real, real fight coming up on our hands if this rematch gets made.
Think of the promotion. They'll go to that knee, they'll show it over crazy. And over. They'll
over
have Tank.
Over.
Like, yeah, that's a
bad
no-brainer.
Blood. First fight was good. It was a high level boxing IQ. The second half of the fight was like on the edge of your seat type stuff. We're not used to seeing Tank in fights like that. Like, yeah, man, there's so many reasons this is going to be a huge event.
I think PBC wants it, and it's going to come down to them convincing Gervonta. This is a complete speculation on my point. on my part, but you saw that press, the post-fight presser where, you know, he had a plan to call someone out after, and it was supposedly going to be Jake Paul. So that was the plan.
Plans change, baby.
Plans change. You can always fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul might be here in Toronto right now where I'm at his event, you know?
I think at some point everyone's
28 years old.
Everyone's going to run through Jake Paul at some point. Why not? As Canelo, Tank, Ryan Garcia, maybe. Who knows? I mean, why not?
Well, speaking of Jake, he might be frozen out with this TKO stuff because
because Turkey's not a fan of the...
And Dana White.
Dana doesn't like...
Oh, man, they had legendary beef.
That's probably on Fighter Pay stuff, right?
Yeah, Jake made a music video about him and was going after him real hard. That could change. Money changes everyone. Like, Canelo Alvarez is about to touch down on the stage at Radio City Music Hall. His first fight under the Saudi banner Thursday at Radio City Music Hall. Okay, I'm kind of upset that I'm missing it. He famously did not like Turki Alsheikh. I don't like that guy. I don't like the way he talks. Now he's hand in hand.
Yep. Taking photos together all over, holding fists
up.
Dude,
every time I open up the phone, Turki is with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Shaq. Bro, what is going on? KSI?
I don't know.
Mr. Beast?
He's living a life that many are going to be jealous about because they get to meet the greatest stars in sports entertainment that are around.
Right. His Instagram is popping, Turki. His socials are through the roof. We'll end with the press conference that we watched earlier this week. Ryan Garcia.
We're coming in like a lion, out like a lamb, huh?
Yeah. Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney, Eddie Hearn, Oscar De La Hoya, Barboza, Jose Ramirez, Rolly Romero, all on the same stage. And it produced crickets. Outside of Teofimo kind of being cringe and like wearing and
being
annoying.
He's trying hard. He tried. But I give it to him. He tried.
I expected so much more from that press conference, Chris.
Did you catch? I don't know if it was. I guess it was kind of like a hot mic, but not really. But it was like Devin and Tio jawing back at each other,
whispering,
and Devin saying he's on drugs. You know, you're on drugs, bro. You're on drugs, bro. Like, chill out.
Okay,
like,
but if you would have said that and everyone heard it, we would have had some juice in that room. I was there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It was, I don't know if it's the matchups, because I had mentioned that, right? I mentioned that I thought the press conference was going to be better than the actual fights just because of the matchups, but you have all those guys in the same dais, but nobody really turned up. You know, I expect Teofimo tried. Barboza's not a talker. Ryan is, Teo is, you know, and Devin, they're just beef with all those guys. So I thought it was going to come to a head, but listen, this is early. This is really early. As we get closer, I think things will heat up.
Listen, I love Dougie Fisher. He is an awesome boxing historian. He's an editor. He's a writer. He was put in a really tough spot because I've never seen him host something like this of this magnitude. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he asked the right questions. Number one. Number two, Ryan Garcia says that I'm being sued by Devin Haney still, so I don't know what I could say up here. So that kind of neutered Ryan Garcia. Devin Haney wasn't saying anything. Oh. He was like not in the mood. And you have Rolly, who's, you know, he's got like back-to-back losses and whatever. He's not the same Rolly from years back. Like, it was just weird. I was expecting more. It's not the end-all, be-all. Who cares? Just a press conference. There's going to be another one, and it's going to be hosted by Todd Grisham, who you know asked those questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Todd pushes buttons. He's good at it. And him and I feel like I should tell Sergio Mora to punch Todd during telecast because he pushes those buttons on Sergio quite a bit. Yeah. So Todd can definitely he can get you going.
I can see Todd being like, "Did you hear what he said about your mom, Ryan Garcia?" Like, even though he said nothing, like,
he said
to get it going.
Dude, Todd comes from WWE. Todd was a WWE announcer for years. You know, he's got that theatrical sense to him. He can he's got great timing. So yeah, Todd, that's I like that idea.
He's a ball buster. He's a ball.
Yes, we'll see.
We've seen this before too with these pressers when they do two of them. The first one usually is kind of boring, and then it heats up for the second one. And who knows? Maybe they were told to be under best behavior. Like the question to Ryan Garcia, I don't know. That was just like one of my weird half-baked thoughts. Dougie Fisher asked Ryan Garcia, to like almost apologize, or like he brought up like smoking weed and drinking before your fights, but not the PEDs. So the narrative around Ryan Garcia was, Ryan Garcia says to the crowd, I just want to let everyone know drinking and smoking before a fight is not the way to go. And that was the end of that. And everyone was like, what about, you know, this PED speculation? So that was weird.
Interesting route to go. Okay.
Got a little bait and switch there. But just a press conference. It's still going to be an unbelievable spectacle. Everything I've heard is that they're going to shut down Times Square, similar to how they shut down Times Square for New Year's Eve. There's only going to be 400 seats available. Fighters are only given 4 seats each. I have this on good knowledge.
That's wild. This is going to be wild. And are you going?
I don't know. If I'm being paid, yes. If I can... If I know that I'm going to get be able to see it, yes. I have an idea. What if we rented a hotel room overlooking this and just had a party?
Well, Dan, we should, and then and then it'll be an Inside Boxing Live party, and we'll invite our closest friends.
Do whatever we want.
We should book that before we put this episode out. That's what we should do, because prices might go up. That's right. A good idea, because I don't want to be anywhere near Times Square. I don't want to be anywhere near Times Square when there's not an event going on.
Bro,
there's an event
like,
going on.
Imagine if they say it's going to be like New Year's Eve, like those people that go to that are mentally ill. Like they're wearing diapers. Like they're peeing and they're pooping themselves to watch a ball drop. You're telling me there's going to be no bathroom?
Freeze to death.
Yeah. Like it's also May 2nd. It's not exactly the warmest time in New York City. It could rain. Like me and you in a poncho watching Rolly Romero get his jaw broke. Like.
And you in a king suite, you know, on the 47th floor. We got food.
Bro,
got some adult cocktails.
I was talking to Ak and Barak about it, and they were into it. They might steal our idea. I should probably keep that to myself.
You should probably keep that a little close to the chest, but whatever.
Yeah. We could have
one big party then.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Last, Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor 3. Is going down July 11th, Madison Square Garden, and it's on Netflix. All women's card, the trilogy, and apparently Amanda Serrano is getting paid.
Paid.
What do you think?
What do I think about what?
The whole thing.
I think it's great. Those women have put it on the line. They put on 2 great performances. This could be the greatest female trilogy of all time. I think it absolutely will be. I don't know if these 2 ladies know how to put on a bad fight.
I could be wrong.
So, I was thinking. Yeah, I'm sure there's been. Listen, there's been a lot of trilogies. Because females
like
back when
level,
the talent pool
title.
Was really small, they had to fight it. They had to fight each other a lot. Yeah, at this level, well, it's never really been this level before. So this is all new ground, but. No, good for them. Let those ladies get paid. They've both been doing this their whole lives. You know, Katie with a huge, long amateur background and huge pedigree. You know, what she's done as her pro career. Amanda Serrano, historic in terms of how many weight divisions, how many times she's been world champion. Also, a lady with real knockout power, has tons of highlight reel knockouts. So, yeah, I like fighters to get paid. And people have been doing their whole lives. Why not? And now they're getting eyes, they're getting views, and a lot of that comes because, you know, thanks to Jake Paul putting those events on his cards, where you've got a lot of casual fans tuning in and being like, who are these women who are awesome? So yeah, I think it's a good thing all around.
Yeah, and I've heard some. The only criticisms I've gotten is like Taylor's 2-0. Like, why is there a third fight? Because they were really close fights. And because they're printing money.
Yep.
Like, women's boxing is not like men's boxing. They don't have the same, you know, lot to choose from. Like, yeah, Katie Taylor probably could have fought Chantel Cameron, and maybe Serrano could have fought Sky Nicholson. But that's a fraction of the cost. We're talking about selling out Madison Square Garden, and we're talking about putting this on Netflix. Like, this is why they're doing it. It's prize fighting. And there's only 2 women right now that can say they are prize fighters. And it's Katie Taylor and it's Amanda Serrano.
That's a really good point. All right, well, so in terms of the 2-0, right, my argument to that, Manny Pacquiao won Mamo Marquez. Why do they fight a 4th time?
Yeah, they fought because it's fun, and they made money, and it ended up being an unbelievable fight in the fourth fight. Fourth fight might have been the best one. Saying something.
And so, what was the record between those 4 fights?
What did Marquez win? None of them?
It was 2-1-1. 2-1-1. Yeah, he only won the fourth fight. So why did that fourth fight even happen? You know, Manny Pacquiao had two wins and they had a draw. So if you go by that logic, why are they doing it again? Katie won, she's 2-0. Well, again, this is not the first time it's ever happened. If you have two fighters that match up and make fantastic fights, and everyone tunes in still and they're still making money, cool. Have them fight four times. Have them fight five times. You know, I'm sure they're not going to complain.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome entertainment, and it's going to be at the Garden, and we'll be there. That's it for this week. Thank you for bearing with us. We're in hotel rooms. Wi-Fi isn't great. Chris is in like a cafe of some sort. I'm about to head down to the weigh-in, call the fights. Check us out, DAZN. Friday night, Chris will be on Saturday night on Pro Box.
Saturday night, Pro Box.
Nice.
You're Friday. I'm Saturday.
Yeah, so check out us on the call. We eat, breathe, and live this stuff, guys, and you do as well at home. Always love your support. Any final words for everyone out there, Chris?
No, man. Well, just I'm saying, tune into both our shows. Listen to both of us. Listen to Dan on Friday. Listen to me on Saturday. Listen, boxing doesn't sleep, man. Neither do we.
Oof! What a schedule. What a life. I love it. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. See you next week.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.